As we get started, we want to make sure that everyone has the 2018 goals. I'm going to hand this to Brother Steve. If someone needs the goals to be written down, it's important that we all, just in principle, write our vision now. Praise God. Today, I'm going to talk to you about, by the grace of God, in the balance of our time, to hold fast to the dream that God has given you in your heart, particularly for this year, in this season of your life. And of course, it's imperative that you hold fast to that, because if you don't, other things will come and steal that dream. And so by the grace and help of God, we're going to uncover four dream thieves that come to try to shatter or break the dream in your life, or vision in your life. So we said, we'll start with Jeremiah 29:11 in New Living Translation, for it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for your for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Everybody say, God has a plan. So we answered the question last week, friends, how does God unfold his glorious good plan in your life to us? By giving us vision. He unfolds this plan, this spiritual reality of what can life be in Christ on the earth in the now through vision. He unfolds that through vision. Now, vision is so important because Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. But but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18 says, no vision. When you don't have vision, then you're in a perishing predicament. New Living Translation says, when people don't accept divine guidance, that comes to all Christian believers. We all have a covenant with God, and he gives us divine guidance. But when you don't have it, it says they run wild. You run wild. While whoever obeys the law is joyful. Amplified says it this way, where there is no vision, no revelation of God in his word, the people are unrestrained. So we see, without a vision, without divine guidance, without vision or revelation of God in his word, you're unrestrained, you run wild, and you perish. So is vision important?
Yes.
So we also discussed last week what the Bible teaches you must do with vision. When you get vision, the Bible says we must write it down and make it clear and concise. Everybody say, write it down. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord said to me, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. So, tablets. They used to use tablets of stone and concrete. We don't do that. You have paper, or you have a smart device, iPad or tablet or something like that, or a phone. He said, why? Why do you need to write it down? So you can run, who read it? So we put together a format of Vision 2018 of what your plan is from God that you need to write down. He goes on to say, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. So why do we write it down? I'm glad you asked. Because when we do, we enable the Lord to refresh ourselves to it. You got to have it written down. There's an old saying that says, it's not a scripture, but the faintest of ink is better than the best memory. The faintest of ink is better than the best memory. So write it down. Turn to someone next to you and say, write it down. So we convey to you also last week that the Holy Spirit's primary ministry in your life is to give you revelation. So how do I get vision, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit helps make things, revelation from God, spiritually and mentally clear. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us through his Spirit. He's revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, he will reveal his glorious good plan to your life by the Holy Spirit. So you got to partner with the Holy Spirit and get the plan. Pray out the plan. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we also shared that by God's grace, that prayer must come first if the will of God is to come forth. Prayer must come first before the will of God is to come forth. How much are you praying about the will and plan of God for your life? If you don't pray it, it's not going to come forth. Amen. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in other words, the Spirit doesn't pray for us. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Some people say, well, Holy Spirit, go ahead and pray it out. No, he's not going to force you to pray. He's going to help you pray. You got to pray and open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, and he will pray out the plan. He will pray out the revelation, the vision from God, so that you can receive it. Praise God. Because remember, friends, as believers, we exist in two realms of realities. Everybody say two realms. The natural realm, which we all see me, you know, we all live in, which is real and relevant to our life's experience. But this realm is temporary. It's subject to change. And then there's the spiritual or supernatural realm, which is who you are in Christ. Everybody say, you're really something in Christ.
You're really something in Christ.
There is everything taken care of, everything done, everything perfect, everything complete in Christ. The Bible says you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So this the bridge, though, between the spiritual or supernatural reality and the who we are in Christ and the natural reality of facts and natural experiences is faith. Everybody say faith. So faith is how you transition and transfer the things of who you are in Christ into this temporal reality, in this natural realm. That's why you need faith. That's why we talk about faith a lot, because it takes walking and living by faith and the exercising of our faith to bring the spiritual reality, the eternal truth, the permanency of who you are in Christ, the highest form of truth, into the natural realm of reality. Man, that was good enough to comb your hair and come to church this morning. So what am I sharing with you this morning? I believe our Father God wants us to accept the challenge of going from where we are now to where we need to be. Amen. It requires us each to make a personal decision to move out of our individual comfort zones of an existing status quo and any kind of mediocre mentality that might hold us back. Our challenge, friends, is to cultivate vision from God. It's not to drift along life with feelings as if we have no purpose or value. We have to cultivate vision from God. Amen. It will take more than doing it on your own or doing it your own way to receive God's best for your life in 2018. It's about progress. You cannot occur without change. You cannot get progress without changing, because change is the price of progress. It's about grasping a hold of the vision and treasures of your heart and running with it until it becomes a reality in your life. See, you and I, friends, precious saints of God, must, number one, value the power of vision, and two, harness and hold fast the dream and vision of God in our lives. Did you know that many people live in two realms which neither exist? These two realms are the past and the future. Because you know tomorrow never comes, right? When it comes, it's today. So some people are always hoping for tomorrow, a future, and then looking back as a prisoner of their past. And that looking back leaves them in a valley of regret and remorse of what could have been done, what should have been done, what might have happened. Why do they live this way? primarily because they don't understand the need for a strategy for the present in order to leave the past and powerfully step into a better future. What they lack is vision, a strategy that provides an entryway to living the abundant life that God has promised them. People of vision understand three things. Number one, that the past is their teacher. You look back and learn and listen to the lessons that came to you in 2017 and 2016. The present is an opportunity. That means the time is now. The moment is now. And number three, the future is not our enemy to be something shunned or feared. See, vision is the ability to see God's presence, perceive God's power, and focus on God's plan in spite of obstacles. The Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again, gives us vision. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. So the value of vision cannot be overstated. Your vision is your future. Turn to someone next to you and say, your vision is your future. Dr. Paul Youngie Cho said this way, show me your vision and I'll show you your future. Then he said, if you can't tell me about your vision, then what you're saying is that you don't have a future, no future, no meaningful future. So if you can't describe your future, you're unclear about your vision. If we took inventory and went around and talked to everybody in this room and said, what's your future look like as given to you by God? You should be able to articulate it with full clarity and conciseness. This is what the Lord, he's not no absentee long distance father. He's right in your heart. The Holy Spirit is right there to give you vision. Praise God. Job says it this way, chapter 32, verse 8. But there's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. It's the spirit that gives you understanding. It gives you the steps to take, the moves to make, step-by-step plan. Glory to God. How to walk it out, how to work it out. Your vision is a strategy to take you out of your present and into your future. And if you don't have a vision, you get stuck. And most times in your past, repeating the same mistakes, learning the same lessons, going through the same phases in life. Vision is the unformed bridge from the present to the future, which leads you from where you are to where God knows you need to be. It is the unformed bridge. See, the key to having vision is seeing with spiritual eyes. So you got to see with spiritual eyes. We said you have to focus and have clear vision on what your spirit is saying, what your spirit is showing you. Amen. And so these goals, we've given you the paper and this online, the CCB, goals are simply bite-sized pieces of your vision that can be measured and attained. Without goals, a vision never goes beyond a dream or fantasy stage. A goal is simply a vision with a plan. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend upon your own understanding. This is the New Living Translation. Seek his will and he will, in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen. So your vision helps you envision the future that releases you from the past and causes you to look beyond the present. You don't get stuck in the nasty now and now. You look for the glorious good plan of God that takes you to the reality of who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Amen. So we encouraged you last week as well to take a temperature of your vision. What do you see? Do you see clearly? Like when Jeremiah was challenged by God and he was questioned by God in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, son of man, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree limb that's budding. He said, you see well. If we were to ask you, do you see well? In other words, do you see clear? What do you see? Turn to someone next to you. Say, what do you see? Turn to somebody else and say, what are you looking at? Those are things you have to do, because you're looking at something. You're not just seeing walls and furniture and chairs and people. You're seeing here with the eye of your faith. Are you striving to simply survive and dreaming about success without direction? Or are you clear about the significant difference that you will make on your current path that you are on right now? As you delight yourself in the Lord through reading and meditating His word, He will deposit dreams, His desires, into your heart. Vision comes from Him, and He will bring it to pass.
Amen.
It's because what you see is what you get.
Amen.
What you see is what you can be. People typically follow visual stimulus for vision. We must understand four things. Number one, God has a future and a hope for us. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that. Everybody say, God has a good future.
God has a good future.
And a good hope for me.
And a good hope for me.
So without vision, you will perish. That's number two. You got to have a vision. I'm about to perish. This month is about to perish. This year is about to perish if I don't have vision. Number three, vision is your vision is your future. If you have no vision, you have no future. And if without vision, you don't have a meaningful future. God has a good future and a hope for you. It's plans that are good, glorious, plans for your well-being. He doesn't plan any of His children to be a failure going somewhere to happen. He plans for you and I to be a success, to be victory walking and victory talking everywhere we go. Praise God. To reinforce the victory of Jesus in our lives. Glory to God. Number four, it's up to you to change any negative vision. Because if you're seeing wrong, you're expecting wrong. If you're seeing bad, gloom, doom, despair, agony on me, then that's what it's going to be. Faith and hope are two power partners that keep your vision alive. And if you keep your vision alive, it will keep you alive. Faith says, I can live out of my imagination instead of my memory. Your imagination needs to be bigger than your memory. Amen. Faith says, I can tie myself to limitless potential instead of my limiting past.
Amen.
Faith is a weapon that shatters the glass ceiling of hopelessness and limitations. It looks above and beyond the ordinary circumstances and believes for extraordinary results. Faith holds on to the hope for the future, no matter how bad the present may be. Faith enables you to discover your purpose. It sees God's plan come to pass on your behalf. You have prevision of the vision. See, hope is a mental picture of where you're going. It's a mental attitude of expectancy of the future. It's a mental attitude of expectancy of the future. Hope is like the blueprint maker. It plans out. It says, this year is going to be the best year. Like Pastor Cynthia opened up, it's going to be the best year of our lives.
Hallelujah.
Well, if you believe it, you receive it.
Amen.
And you take it as your word for the year. This is going to be the best month of the best year of my life. Next month is going to be the better month, the best year of my life. March is going to be the better month, a more better month than in the best year of my life. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about hype. I'm talking about hope.
Amen.
It's a confident expectation of good.
Hallelujah.
How's your hope? Now, if I can give spiritual pills, I would give everybody a hope pill.
Amen.
Pastor's prescribing hope pills today. Yes, I am. Because you need to have hope. Because God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He wants to give you good hope for this year. Good hope for your family. Good hope for your finances. Good hope for your future.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hope says never give up. It's the anchor that keeps us focused in our minds, will, and emotions until the invisible becomes visible. As the scripture says in Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You need to anchor your soul in hope. The hope in Christ, the confident, joyful expectation of good that's in Christ. Y'all must be thinking real good today. Amen. Praise God. Now that we got to hold on to something. We got to hold on to this dream. Got to hold on to the vision. Everybody say, don't let it go.
Don't let it go.
Hebrews 10:23 tells us, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Because many people, friends, start out with a God-given dream and passion to see the word of God from the Lord fulfilled in their lives, burning in their hearts, but it's no longer, but the longer it took for that dream to come to pass, what happened? The lesser their hearts burned for it. Many of us remember, we were on fire running for the Lord when we first came to the Lord. Can you get that back again? Yes, you can. Can you get that passion back again? Yes, you can. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let the devil take your eyes out. I'm talking about your spiritual eyesight, just like Samson. Bore your eyes out. Well, you don't see a better future. You don't see a better tomorrow. You don't see the glorious good plan of God.
Amen.
Amen. See, these people release God's dream for their lives after all together, letting it slip out of their hearts and their hands into oblivion. Everybody say, don't let it slip.
Don't let it go.
Let me remind you again, precious people of God, that you were born, each and every one of you were born to be remarkable.
Amen.
Every single one of you were born to be remarkable. God didn't create no mistakes or no failures. He's a good, good father. Come on now. Woo! Glory to God. He's a good, good father. There are no spiritual birth defects in his family. There's no retarded or maimed or handicapped believers.
Amen.
Because you are really something in Christ. You were born to be remarkable. Turn to the one next to you and say, you were born to be remarkable. Did you know that? No one in the world just like you. Your dream, your God-given vision, your word from the Lord is also unique. Amen. God has uniquely shaped you. Now, shape we use as an acronym. It's spiritual gifts, heart passions, abilities, amen, personality, and experiences, and education. So everyone has been shaped by God to be unique. You have a unique purpose. You have a unique calling. Amen. Nobody, see, we often say you know, thumbprint is really high security. You know, you have pictures, thumb, pictures on phones and stuff like that. They now got thumbprints in their face. But, you know, the highest, when I worked at National Security Agency in the Army, the highest form of security is voice print. There's no other voice like your voice. Your voice is your address in the spirit realm of the spirit. So God hears your voice. He knows it's you. You might have an identical twin. But you don't have identical voices. Somebody said, glory to God. So your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. In other words, when you call on the Lord, when you cry out for the plan, when you call down and pray in the Holy Spirit for the plan and purpose of God, he knows it's you. He said, she's calling. He's calling me.
Amen.
So, Psalmist David said this, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139. In other words, he said, the fabric in which I was woven with is so special, God didn't make any copies. He made every one of you an original. Don't die a copy. Somebody said, glory to God. So God has a special plan for you that alone that no one else can get, because that's why in Jeremiah 11, if you read verse 12, 13, 14, he said, come to me, seek me. It's personal. It applies to you personally. The greatest tragedy that ever could happen would be someone to let go of their God-given dream and allow the fire in your heart to go out. That's a tragedy. And your dream stands in danger of perishing, friends, if you don't gain knowledge you need to fulfill it. We've given you tools. We've given you Holy Spirit technology. This is how you get the plan. This is what you're supposed to do with the plan. You're supposed to write it down. And then refresh yourself to it at least once a week. That way you won't drift or you won't let things slip. Once you truly know God's will for you, you must follow through by obeying what he's told you to do, no matter what your friends, family, or surrounding circumstances have to say about it. But God, it's not the right time. It's not the right place. No. God makes everything beautiful in his time. Time is now. We also need to see the big picture. Need to see the picture. Although God desires to use you, he's much more interested in changing you, getting you changed into his image, the image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. Praise God. See, the Holy Spirit can give you powerful new revelation from God's word, but if you're not accepting the challenge that would come that will require a fresh vision from the Lord in order to achieve success, as long as you insist on remaining where you are with no obstacles to overcome, the Holy Spirit will be hindered in your life. We said in our faith teaching, we're still talking about faith, the first sign of faith is discomfort. If you're comfortable, you're really not in faith, because you got control of everything, your surrounding, your circumstances. But God will always lead you out of your comfort zone. Why? Because he needs you to depend on him to make progress in life. Somebody say glory to God. You get out of your comfort zone about your prayer life, about your reading, your study habits. Come on now. About your giving lifestyle. He'll stretch you. Everybody say stretch. Some of you need to stand and stretch. Praise God. We got a little bit more to go, just a little bit. We're almost done. So you hinder the Holy Spirit if you choose to remain in the comfort zone and select not to overcome the obstacles that are set before you. Amen. He can't deliver his delivering power to bring forth godly character and integrity in your life. As long as you choose to remain in the place of false security, you will live in a mediocre life without a plan or purpose. Denying your calling, your giftings, your potential. Mediocrity will be your standard because you won't allow yourself to develop spiritually. You won't mature in the knowledge of God nor grow in his wisdom. And just like birds, sometimes God has to kick you out of the nest. So you got to learn how to fly or you're going to fall. You learn how to, you know, I don't know how your parents taught children how to swim, just throw them in the water. Sometimes they used to do that in the old school days. They said, if you want to live, you swim. We don't do that kind of stuff today. That's a little bit edgy. That's a little edgy, but praise God. God knows that you can obey him only if you're willing to deal with your fears, your unbelief, and your selfishness. God knows that you will obey him only if you are willing to deal with your fears, your unbelief, and your selfishness. This is his prerequisite to you carrying out the dream he has placed in your heart. You must renew your mind to his way of thinking and his way of seeing things. In order for you to fulfill the vision that burns within you, the word you receive from God, he requires that alterations and changes are first made in you. When you say, but this step of faith will demand many changes in me, Pastor, you're right. You're exactly right. That's what God wants to do. He wants to change you in the process of using you. He wants to change you in process of using you. He wants you to be all you can be in terms of talent, ability, and character. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who walked in complete obedience to the revealed will of God for his life. Now listen to the scripture again. Hebrews 10:23. I'm reading out of King James this time. Let us hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
The profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. So it's so important that you firmly embrace God's plan for your life. Because see, if you don't hold fast to God, your God-given vision, tightly embracing, that's what it means, what he has shown us, these dream thieves will see to it that we slowly let our dream and vision slip away from us. We must seize that dream. Everybody say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
There's two Greek words combined that make up this phrase. It's an image of a dog clamping down on a bone. If you can look at it visually, conceptually, it is the idea of seizing, wrapping your arms around it, holding it down, and grasping it tightly, and putting all your weight on top of it. You know, many of you that have dogs know when you give them a rope or something, when they try to grab it down, they lock down on it, they usually put their weight against it to hold it on, to not let it go. That's what you and I need to do with our dream, the vision of God for your life. You need to wrap your arms of faith around it. You need to hold it down, grasp it tightly, and place all of your spiritual weight on it.
Amen.
Dream thief number one, because these are four major three dream thieves. Not the only ones, but the major ones. Time. Everybody say time.
Time.
There's just something about the passage of time that has a way of gnawing away at your faith and perseverance. Because friends, time has a strong tendency to try your trust in God and in his word. Well, I've been waiting so long. When is it going to happen? Time tries your trust in God and his word and to bring the dream and vision to pass. Time can work for us or against us. It can be either a healing or a destructive force. We often said, time without purpose, life without purpose is time without meaning. There's a time for everything. The book of Ecclesiastes gives us a great concept of time, a perspective on time. It says, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season and a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. What is the time now? The time now is to be right in the vision, making it clear, getting the vision, getting it clear. Don't go forward without a plan. God is a planner. Planning is winning. What's your plan for this year? What's your plan? What's your purpose in this 2018 new part of the year? You got to have a plan. We often say prior planning prevents poor performance. If you don't plan to win, you plan to fail by default. You got to make the time to write down the plan. It's useless to keep track of time where if there's no end to which you are moving. Because time has been given to us, and time is a temporary interruption in eternity. God given us each a measure of time.
Amen.
So we can make a difference in eternity. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And the New Testament standard and expectation is this, that we all redeem the time, make the most use of it, take the most of an opportunity. Like the psalmist says, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our heart to wisdom. How many days do you have left? He's given us 365. Now they're cutting into that. We're cutting into that. So it's 358, I think, days to the year. So 358 days left to this year. How much time do you have? You have 24 hours a day. You have 358 days left. What time are you going to give to the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he's made everything beautiful in his time. Like we know, the growth of an orange is great, but if it's not ripe and ready, it's poisonous. But when it's ripe and ready, it's full of vitamins. And it's very good for you. If it's green, it's acidic. And it's not healthy. We often pick bananas, you know, so they can ripe a little bit, you know, a little green on it. But then you wait till the green gets off of it a little bit, and it's ripe and ready. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Don't let time be your enemy, but let time be your friend. Glory to God. He said he has put the eternity in their hearts, except no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. God makes everything beautiful in the time he gives. God created you and I for a specific purpose and gave you the exact amount of time to fulfill and fulfill our purpose. It's our great responsibility to honor God by giving him our time. And when we do, he will help us to redeem it. We have to be like the psalmist that says, my times are in your hand. My time's in your hand, Lord. Amen. Amen. Dream number two, dream thief number two, Satan. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you know, let's get a picture of this. The devil's just not going to say, hey, Brother Lamont, I'm just going to let you do the will of God this year. I'm going to give you a pass in 2018. Go ahead and obey God. Go ahead and do the will of God. I'm going to leave you alone. You think he's going to leave you alone? Man, you've marked as dangerous when you have a vision, when you have a plan from God. And some people say, well, I don't know how to deal with the devil. But you have to deal with the devil. Amen. Amen. Everybody said,
we have to deal with the devil in our lives.
Satan brings three major things that come to try to derail us from the plan and purpose and vision of God for our lives. Number one, deception. He is a deceiver. Deceiving just simply means causes you to think on, believe in, and trust on, and act on things that are not truth. I didn't say they weren't factual. They're not truth. Because truth is where your faith should be lying. We often said he brings it through a spirit of fear oftentimes. Fear is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Faith is full assurance in the heart that this is factual, but I speak the truth into facts. I maintain my confession of faith. Amen. I believe what God said, and that settles it for me. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I don't get deceived. Because sin always deceives. Sin takes you further than when you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you wanted to pay. Sin always deceives. And then there's division. Everybody say division. He is the antithesis of the spirit of a division. He uses that same O-M-O, modus operandi, if you want to say it that way. He divides and conquers. If he can put a little strife in your marriage, he can put a little strife in your house, then you got, you know, in the spiritual sense, you got all these rattlesnakes and scorpions running around in your family. And where the Bible says where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Come on now. So when the spirit of strife is there, it is the manifestation of the devil there. Don't discriminate. Well, we just got into a little scuffle. The devil just dropped some strife bombs in your relationship. Come on now. And he's causing strife and contention breeds and results in division. And Jesus said, a house divided, a city divided, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. That's his main MO in relational enjoyment. He gets you arguing and fussing and gossiping and slandering and saying things that you shouldn't say. And strife and contention causes division. And with division, he destroys your faith and your family and your future. Amen. And then distraction. Everybody say distraction. These distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. He gets you taken away from what you should be doing to what you shouldn't, to doing things you shouldn't be doing. He is the master of distraction. So you got to deal with the devil. If he comes at you with deception, you got to deal with the devil. When he comes at you with division, you got to deal with the devil when he comes at you with distraction to derail your life from your dreams, vision, and the purpose and plan of God for your life. It is our great responsibility to resist the devil and give him no place in your life. Listen to what Ephesians 4:27 says. Do not let the devil start working in your life. This is out of the New Life Translation, New Life Version, NLV. Don't let the devil start working in your life. When you allow the devil to start working in your life, he will start stealing your dream and destroying the vision of God in your life. James 4:6 tells us, New Living Translations, and he gives grace generously. And the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under God. Resist the devil. You got two actions there. You got to humble yourself to God, subordinate yourself to God, and then you got to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It didn't say God's going to resist the devil. He said you resist the devil. You got to resist him. You got to pray prayers that resist Satan. Satan, you take your hands off my money. You take your hands off my child. You take your hands off my marriage. He gave you and I the power of binding and loosing. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Come on, it's up to you. He's given you the name and the authority to drive out devils and demons. Now, dream thief number three, friends. Friends. Oh, my goodness. Change isn't the only thing that frightens people who see things only from a natural perspective. If your friends think that their lives are mediocre, average, or ordinary, your quest for excellence in God will probably be a threatening to them. They may very well try to convince you to do otherwise. You don't need to go to church that much. You don't need to give to that. People that love God, but they're not serving God. I know that doesn't make sense, but they say, well, I give my life to God. I believe in God, but they're not serving him. Jesus is not Lord in their life. Amen. Those closest to you, we said, will determine the outcome of your life. Your life is built by relationships. You will receive both the consequences and rewards of those who are closest to you. Relationships are like buttons on the elevator. Some will take you up. Some will take you down. Others will get you stuck. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose friends carefully, and the way of the wicked leads them astray. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. You got to watch who you're hanging around, who's speaking into your ears and speaking life into your heart or death into your heart. Amen. Who are your friends? Praise God. Amen. Dream thief number four, last one, family. See, if your dream survives such challenges as the passage of time and the lies of the devil and the opposition of friends, the final challenge is often most difficult and painful, but because it pertains to your family. Let's be real here as we're closing. Time passes and brings new seasons. We're in a new year. The devil's voice can be rebuked and silenced by the name of Jesus and the word of God. You can tell your friends goodbye and change out friends, but your family is with you for your entire life. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So you must face these situations and hold on, because see, they'll make the dream slip. Dr. Miles Monroe, who's gone to be with heaven, used to say this all the time. Dr. Miles used to say this, the most richest place in the earth today are in the cemeteries. Because in the cemeteries, people lived and died with the dreams and visions and books and songs that were never sung, books that were never written. Come on now, lives that were never lived. Don't let it be any of us in this room today. Somebody say, glory to God. You got to deal with that. So you must face the head-on accusations and uncertainness voices of those dream thieves. Deal with them according to the word of God and the spirit of God. Don't deal with them according to your flesh, because you're going to have a family feud in the last situation, as we refer to. If you notice it's God, the one that placed the vision in your heart, this must take precedence over every other argument. Would you stand with me, please? Would you stand? Thank you, Father God.